NSA Oregon's May 2010 edition of the Speakers Platform. My name is Anthony Miller, and I'll be your host as we navigate through this fantastic agenda that includes a message from your president, Margaret Markison, announcements from the always exuberant Kelly Grill. We also have a technology tip about Twitter this month with Andrea from Go4No. Jan Carruthers will also be doing an interview of our upcoming guest at the May chapter event, Rebecca Morgan, who's going to be talking to us about making money in our pajamas. How cool is that? I'd love to make money in my pajamas. And this month we also continue our popular segment, The Meeting Planner Minute. Kelly Grill's going to join us again, and she'll be interviewing NSA candidate member Holly Duckworth, who's a successful meeting planner in her own right, who's now branching out into speaking. Enough of me, though. Let's get started with a message from your president, Margaret Markison. Margaret?
This is Margaret Markison, your NSA Oregon president for 2009-2010. I'm still reflecting on our last chapter meeting with Mark LeBlanc, who also spoke at the very first NSA Oregon event I attended in 2002. It struck me that as we grow personally and professionally, we circle around to some of the same information but receive it in a different way. Oh, yes, now I understand that better. That's been true with my mentors in my profession as a minister and also in NSA. That's why I keep coming back to events, because I know there's always more to learn, both about presenting and about the business side. And I find NSA consistently delivers remarkable information on both. I'm grateful to our presenters this year and to all of you who've participated. May 10th, we'll welcome Rebecca Morgan, talking about making money in your jammies. I hope to see you there.
This is breaking news. We've got Kelly Grill on location with a very important announcement. Kelly?
Hi, everybody. It's Kelly Grill from NSA Oregon. I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're having a wonderful springtime. I wanted to let you know about the upcoming events for the month of May 2010 for NSA Oregon. So I wanted to let you know about our upcoming chapter event with the wonderful and talented Rebecca Morgan. She will be coming to our NSA Oregon chapter event Monday, May 10th. Networking starts at 6 p.m., and the actual chapter event goes from 6:30 till 9:30. Rebecca Morgan is a CSP and a CMC from San Jose, California. She is going to teach us how to make money in our pajamas with our websites, our blogs, our e-zines, social networking, and all of the amazing things we can do on computers that will help us make money while we're in our pajamas. Rebecca Morgan is the author of 23 books, hundreds of audio programs. She's been featured on Oprah, 60 Minutes, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and she is also the co-publisher of SpeakerNet News. We are so excited to have her Monday, May 10th, from 6 o'clock is networking, 6:30 to 9:30 is the event, and of course it's being held at the Tigard Courtyard by Marriott. And we are very excited to have her, so we hope to see you there. Please check for your emails from Becky Klotz or check the NSAOregon.net website for more information on Rebecca. Thursday, May 20th, from 6:30 till 9, we will be having our very own Salem, Oregon, NSA member, Elaine Sanchez, and she will be teaching us on storytelling. She'll be helping us to take personal stories and helping us tap into the sources of our lives and our stories by helping make our stories stand out in our speeches. And we are so excited to have Elaine. She is the author of the book, Letters from Madeline, A Chronicles of a Caregiver. And she is just a wonderful, wonderful storyteller, and we are so excited to have her help us. She also has her Boomer Boot Camp, and she helps people find hope and humor in aging, illness, and in long-term caregiving. She will be at the Speaker Lab Thursday, May 20th from 6:30 till 9 at the Tigard Courtyard Marriott. And please check for your emails from Becky regarding Elaine Sanchez and the Speaker Lab for May. And you can also check the NSAOregon.net website. I hope to see you at these wonderful events. Thank you so much, and I hope that you will have a wonderful springtime, and I'll be talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
In this month's guest interview, Jan Carruthers has been nice enough to interview our upcoming guest at the May NSA Oregon meeting, Rebecca Morgan. Let's take a listen in as Jan finds out a little bit more about what Rebecca is going to be speaking to us about.
For the month of May, we have a wonderful speaker for the chapter. On May 10th, Rebecca Morgan, CSP and CMC. Rebecca is an internationally known best-selling author. She has over 25 books. She's a workplace effectiveness expert, a media personality, and an award-winning leader. She works with companies who want to create innovative people development solutions. She's appeared on Oprah, 60 Minutes, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and National Public Radio, among a host of other recognized medias. Her ideas are so solid that Microsoft has retained her as their workplace effectiveness spokesperson. And Rebecca is only the 15th person in the world to earn both the designation of certified speaking professional as well as certified management consultant. And these are the highest earned designations conferred by those respective professional associations. Special interest to me is that she has a new program that we will touch on briefly at some point, but it's called the Get It Done program. And so today I'm just thrilled that you're here, Rebecca. Thank you very much for taking time not only to do this, but to come to Portland in May.
Well, thank you, Jan. It's my pleasure for both.
That's great. So your topic is making money in your jammies. Yes?
Yes. But I won't be wearing my jammies.
You will be. I was going to ask
not
you
present.
That. Is it improper to ask you if you're in your jammies right now?
Actually, I have a must-be-dressed-by-noon rule. So because I knew I'd be with you up until noon, I decided to get dressed before this.
That's great. Truth in Advertising, Rebecca and I are longtime friends with NSA, and so it's really another special reason. I'm just so happy that you're coming to be with the chapter for the second or third time over the years, but we haven't seen you for a long time, so I'm just excited.
Okay.
One of the things that has impressed me over the years is that you have been an early adopter of a number of what I would call the newer value delivery systems. Would you tell us a little bit about why you've done that?
Well, I am a Silicon Valley girl. I do live in Silicon Valley and have for 40 years, so I get sniffs of early technologies, and I try to wait till most of the bugs are out of them before I step in, and then I'm generally, I consider myself lazy, although my friends laugh when I say that, so I'm always trying to look at how can I get the results with the least possible steps or effort. How can I be the most efficient at that? And that's when I started doing teleseminars in the mid to late 90s and was one of the first people ever to do a webinar on AOL, which was involved typing in a chat room. That was the webinar. And pretty ridiculous things from today's perspective. But I've always said, how can I deliver what I need to deliver in the most effective way possible so that it benefits all parties?
You've tried and shown us the way in a lot of different areas. One of the areas that you are often most known for, if we're not your clients, is by your tremendous service to NSA. And one of those services has been to develop as the co-founder and ongoing leader of SpeakerNet News. I'm curious, besides the good service that it has been, how has that SpeakerNet News benefited you?
Well, let me first, by clarifying, since you mentioned SpeakerNet News in the context of NSA, SpeakerNet News, just for the listeners who don't know, is not in any way affiliated with NSA other than my business partner, Ken Braley, and I have been NSA members for 30 years and have been active leaders in those 30 years of NSA. But NSA is a private entity, and Ken and I have run it since 1996. And for those who don't know, it's a weekly e-zine compilation of best practice tips submitted by our 9,000 speakers, trainers, and consultants around the world, and it's a free subscription. If people aren't receiving it and want to, just go to speakernetnews.com. So back to your question of what benefit has it been. Well, because Ken is a brilliant technologist, I consider it my sandbox. So, so it allows me to play and try new things, having a very savvy and intelligent partner to help implement some of the ideas we come up with, which, as you say, sometimes nobody's ever done before. So we have to think about what to call it and how to price it and how to market it because, like, we released an e-book in 1996 and we took advertising in it and no one had ever, that we could ever, we could not find anyone who had any experience or guidance or knew anyone who had sold advertising in an e-book. So wow. We had to come up with a whole new model. And the same with teleseminars. We started doing teleseminars in 2000, and that was very new, and we get paid for them, and we now have subscribers who subscribe to every recording we ever make. So we've tried to just invent things, and the benefit to me is I've got this great business partner who helps figure out how we can make things work.
That's amazing. It sounds like it would be very handy to have a technical wizard as one of your colleagues. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking about in the chapter event on the 10th.
Well, sure. I'm going to be talking about making money without getting on an airplane. In fact, I call it non-airplane income. So what's happened in the industry, as everybody's, I'm sure, very well aware, is that not only have organizations cut back on their meetings and conferences in person, but if they do have a speaker, they used to maybe hire 3 to 5 or more speakers, and now maybe they'll have 1 or 2. And those people they have that they pay, they're not paying as much to. So the whole middle market has been really squeezed. If you're at the low end, you're still doing okay. If you're at the high end, where you're more of a celebrity speaker, you're doing okay. But there's a whole middle market of thousands of people who are just having a hard time getting those live presentations. So why not deliver your expertise through webinars, teleseminars, web-based learning, even satellite, Skype, various ways. And then also I'm going to talk about making money through your blogs. I have 2 blogs. Both, well, one of which I have monetized, and I have been approached by major companies and get them, they pay me every month to have an ad on my site. It's not like AdWords. And then I turned those 2 blogs into 17 books last year.
Are they all about your specific business speaking expertise, or have you branched out into different fields?
I have branched out into different fields, but I'm not. You have to come to the event to hear the details.
That's great. I love it. You sneaky girl here. But we like a little bit of enticement. What you're saying so far is giving me a little bit of hope, because there's something that I've been concerned about, which is with so much being given free on the internet, I've been thinking that the only purpose of teleseminars and webinars is to advertise some other kind of written product or some other kind of something. Tell us a little bit about making money from teleseminars.
All right. So what I will cover in the session is the analogy of, we look at a teleseminar, a webinar, a blog, and we're like a dog. And when you're pointing in front of a dog, where do most dogs look?
Where do they look? I don't know.
And your dog may be an exception. But typically they look at your finger.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're doing when we're saying, oh, you know, I only had 5 people at this webinar, I only had 10 people at this teleseminar, blah, 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 even though they were paid. Well, you're looking at the finger when you should be looking at where the finger is pointing, which is, I'm getting a product that I can sell in an hour.
Right.
So the I mean, we sell some of our teleseminar recordings that are evergreen, that are just really good marketing strategies, for example. We've been selling those for 10 years.
Ah.
We have taken 10 of our recordings that are geared toward those in the first beginning, in the first 5 years of the speaking business, and we created a binder of transcripts and handouts and CDs, and we call that Beginning a Profitable Speaking Business. So we take those recordings, we rebundle them into a bigger priced product. Every week we advertise three, a little mini bundle on a finite topic, and this week's is on self-publishing. So we've taken those recordings and we've bundled them so that somebody interested in self-publishing can download those and within 3 hours have a pretty good idea of what they need to do to get moving on their self-publishing. So don't look at the finger, which is, oh man, nobody's coming to my sessions. You can make good money. In fact, I was offered $3,500 recently to do a webinar. Another friend's getting $10,000 to do a 1 hour webinar. Another friend has taken his 1 day in-person sales course and is now delivering it live over 8 hours with a group of people spread around the world, and he's getting his regular fee.
Wow.
He breaks it into 50-minute chunks, gives them a 10-minute break every 50 minutes to answer the email, go to the bathroom, get coffee, come back. They do another 50 minutes. He gets his fee. Nobody has to travel. The company loves it because they don't have any expenses to pay. So there is money out there. And yes, you can use it as a loss leader and to sell, but frankly, most of the free ones people know it's going to be an infomercial, and that's why only a third of the people show up that register.
You know what else is true about those?
What?
There's a tremendous fall off at the point about which time people know that the offer is going to be made.
Yep, that's why most of the people do pitches in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Because they know that if you wait till 55 minutes, people are going to hang up.
Yeah, I don't actually mind getting a pitch as long as I understand that there's going to be something valuable. You have really opened my eyes about thinking beyond the one-time sale.
Yeah.
And the variety of ways. I'm so excited about the chapter meeting that you're going to do.
Well,
and for those of you who haven't been to Rebecca's programs, she's funny and she's smart and she will answer your questions, and that's one of the best things. So there's a possibility that you have an idea of a program or a project or a product. This would be a great opportunity for you to get a sense of her ability to help you. You've got lots of clients in that that have been your individual coaching clients, yes?
Right. Many of them have just engaged me individually, but some of them have attended my Get It Done program, which is a 2-day, 6-person intensive event where there's virtually no lecture. It's all based upon 6 hot seats and what they need to get moving on that they're stuck about.
Wow.
And we help them make some breakthroughs, and then it includes 6 months of one-on-one coaching with me.
Wow.
Because we all know that we leave events being riled up, and then life happens. And so I decided to bundle the 6-month coaching with this just to make sure they have the support they need to implement what they do. And people have had amazing breakthroughs. One guy working on a book 13 years, at the end of our 6 months together, he had his book printed in hand.
That's great. All of this sort of presupposes that you're a good list builder, doesn't it?
No, not all of it. You can borrow someone else's list. You can joint venture, like I joint venture with associations in order to offer webinars or teleseminars through them. So you're leveraging their list. So but it is optimal to build your own list. So then you capture. You want to make sure that if you do joint venture with people, you have the agreement that you get to keep the people's contact information who register for your session.
Right. Well, terrific. You, for those of you who are listening, I heartily invite you to the session. You will get so much more than your money's worth. Rebecca, thanks for the time this morning.
Okay.
I look forward to seeing you. Any last words?
No, just I look forward to everybody coming on May 10th. Yay.
Yay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
In this month's technology tip, Andrea gives us a great example of how we can use Twitter to build relationships that will help us build our business.
Hi, it's Andrea here, Andrea Waltz, and I just want to talk to everyone for a little bit about social media. And I know that Richard and I are kind of known as the product development people, but we also have done a lot in the area of social networking, social media. There are a lot of fabulous experts out there, and I wanted to kind of take this from the from a perspective of someone who's, you know, doing a lot of speaking and selling a lot of product, and how we have made, in particular, the social media world of Twitter work for us. And I just want to give you a couple pieces of advice, because I think this might help you in, you know, getting engaged with Twitter and maybe understanding how it might be able to help you. You know, we're known as the Go for No people. So on Twitter, our name is Go for No. And so, you know, I tweet, you know, probably a few times a day, and have, you know, met a lot of great people. What has really been effective for me, and what you can do on Twitter, is you can actually search keywords. And what I did was I started searching keywords for all kinds of people that I wanted to get to know in the fields that we were doing a lot of business. So, for example, Go for No is very popular in the network marketing direct sales business. So I started finding on Twitter all the experts who were experts, kind of like us, in that industry, in the network marketing and direct selling industry. And what's interesting is you might be thinking, well, gosh, you're actually looking for your competitors. That doesn't make sense. Exactly, we have. And I've followed them, and they've followed me, and they've kind of learned about Go for No, and in some cases I've ended up communicating with them and sent them copies of the book. And what's amazing is it's from these connections that we have gained strategic relationships, and in some cases we've been able to do very nice, profitable partnerships, like on teleseminars and different things with people, because we've been able to partner up with them. And so in that case, you know, Twitter can be monetized, because not just because you're thinking of finding that end consumer, who that person who's going to buy your product, but really it's about finding other people who are in touch with your market already, who might be willing to partner up with you if it makes sense for both you and them. You know, sometimes people get tired of being the only experts in a particular field, and it's nice to maybe bring in someone else who's talking about the same topic, and maybe together you can offer their list, their followers, their people something, and then split the profits on the back end. So that's one way that we have really used social networking, specifically Twitter, to build Go for No, is to find people who are already speaking to and know the markets that we want to reach. And it's been pretty much a win-win for us. So I encourage you, if you're not on Twitter, to get on. And if you are, start trying to follow people who are talking about your same topic. You don't have to go after your end user or your end consumer. And with that, I appreciate you listening.
In this edition of the Meeting Planner Minute, Kelly Grill sits down with NSA Fast Track member Holly Duckworth to find out a little bit more about what's on the mind of meeting planners.
Hi, everybody. Happy May. This is the Meeting Planner Minute for NSA Oregon's audio blog. We are really excited this morning as we have Holly Duckworth. She is a certified meeting professional, and she has a new company that she is the president of, Leadership Solutions International. We are so excited to have her. She has got so much experience with being a meeting planner. She was the Oregon chapter of MPI, their president, in 2006 and 2007, and she's been their chapter business manager and just really been involved with meeting planning. So we are so excited to have you, Holly. Welcome.
Thank you, Kelly. It's great to be here.
Well, good. I'm excited to get your insider's point of view on the speaking profession and what meeting planners do and what they want from speakers. One thing I wanted to mention to our audience is that you are now kind of on the other side of the fence
you are also becoming a speaker and working towards your National Speaker Association membership. And I think that is such a value to all of us because you can talk to us from both angles and both sides of the profession. So the first question that I wanted to ask you was if you could maybe go along with us and kind of tell us the typical day of a meeting planner.
Well, Kelly, that's a great question, one that I think isn't often asked. And so often when I sit in NSA programs or MPI programs, we sit there and we try to make everyone look different. And I think now is really a key time to step back and go, you know what, there's probably more that is the same between meeting planners and speakers than there is different. And now as I evolve from my role with Meeting Professionals International to this role with Leadership Solutions, I'm seeing very much similar entrepreneurial traits between the two skill sets. And even if you are a meeting planner who might perhaps work in a corporation or in an association, no matter what, as a meeting planner, you really are the entrepreneur for that event, and you own it as if you owned your business.
Absolutely.
So with that, as speakers, we know there is no typical day. So I would say there's no typical day for a meeting and event planner, which makes it an exciting lifestyle and an exciting place for people to connect. You probably will be surprised to know most meeting planners are balancing, you know, a very large budget. They're interfacing with a team of marketing professionals looking at their events the same way you look at yours, from, you know, how am I going to get this out in social networking to traditional marketing. They're also building their program books. They're working on food and beverage, registration, all of the different pieces that make that meeting come alive. Just as you're multitasking every single day, a meeting planner is multitasking. I recently read an article in OnePlus, which is MPI's national magazine, that meeting planners of tomorrow may be called chief connections officers because they are actively connecting all parts of the meeting as well as the audiences that they are trying to reach. Just like you as a speaker, you are a connections officer to the knowledge and the ideas and the people that make your message work. So I think it's important sometimes to step back, and now's a great time to say, you know what, maybe I am not as different from this meeting planner as I might have once thought. And we're all looking for the same goals, to meet the needs and exceed the needs of our audiences.
Absolutely. And I love that, chief connection officers. That is so true. That is what meeting planners do, and speakers to a certain degree. Could you touch on a little bit of just kind of maybe what is so nice to have from a speaker, like along the lines of, obviously you want speakers to be flexible and easy to deal with because, you know, things change and you just don't want somebody who's tough to deal with. But along the lines of, you know, getting the information to you that you need, maybe it's a bio or photos for to put in the program, or could you touch base on a little bit of, you know, what is nice from a meeting planner standpoint of for a speaker to provide?
Well, I think what planners are looking for from speakers, first of all, is that they know the meeting planner and they know the group. So you have a general sense of, you know, if it's been, you know, real estate association, you have a general sense of who their members are, what their audience is. Or if it's a major corporation, you have a general idea of, you know, who the audience is. Are these the sales managers, the marketing people, the HR professionals? So that you have a very targeted message to them. As I was saying earlier, a meeting planner is an entrepreneur. They're very busy. They don't have a lot of time. So first and foremost, if you're looking to pitch a meeting planner, having a succinct message that you know that audience cannot live without. Much beyond that, as you're working with a meeting planner, I think it's key to be customized to them and to their needs. I know as I metamorph between both the planner world and the speaker world, I'm really trying to get a better sense of how does my client communicate. Are these people that want to be talking to me on Facebook? Do they want to be talking to me on the phone? Do they want to be on LinkedIn? Are they an instant message person? So my recommendation to planners and to speakers is have that conversation about how you want to communicate early, and then be flexible to that as the contracts merge and change and grow. Really have a clear, complete, and concise contract. Respond in a timely fashion. Generally, you know, a meeting planner, you know, I'll often hear when I'm in my speaker circle, oh, meeting planners never get back to me. They're just as busy as you are, but if you can have the information on their desk so they can access it 24/7, meeting planners, you know, don't have a typical 8-to-5 day. Most of them are, you know, juggling many things. So having your contracts in their email so they can get to them on their time to sign them and process checks, and then certainly having all of your information public as much as you can on your web page. So that's, you know, a video, a bio, any promotional materials on your programs, handouts, as much as you can have available for them that they can get at their convenience, is really, really helpful.
That's great.
And then certainly after your program, continue to be in relationship with them. If you, mm-hmm. you know, hear things during the program that you think could help them, either, you know, certainly to book yourself again or, you know, even, you know, recommending each other. I know in NSA, the more relationships, the more speakers you know, the better you can be that connections officer for them, the more valuable you are. Prompt billing, you know, detailed billing, make sure they understand, you know, what you're billing for and that works for both parties. And then I think this is, a piece we're hearing more and more of in the world today. Never forget gratitude. And, if you're building a long-term relationship with that client, again, kind of that customized gratitude. If you know that person's, you know, son had a birthday while you were working with them, sending them that thank you note, sending them that acknowledgement.
That's great advice.
You know, meeting planners are busy, but they'll always remember the speaker who did something special for them.
Absolutely, yes. I think one of the key elements that you're hitting on, and it seems to be the theme through all that you're talking about, is communication. And it doesn't matter if it's in the form of gratitude as a thank you note or just responding, quickly to what they need. I think that if we communicate well, we can really have a nice working relationship with these people and hopefully get booked back. So that's great. Well, I think these are great, great tips, Holly. I can tell you've been there, done that. So these are great. I just really cannot thank you enough for all of these. Is there anything else you wanted to add in conclusion?
You know, I just think NSA is a great organization and have been proud to be a part of the Fast Track program, and I was honored to help you out today, Kelly, so thank you so much.
Oh, Holly, thank you so much, and I really appreciate it, and I know we are all going to get a lot of valuable advice from this Meeting Planner Minute, so thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks so much, Holly.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Anthony Miller signing off on another edition of the Speakers Platform for NSA Oregon. We'd love to have your thoughts, your feedback, your participation. You can contact me directly at 503-421-1936, or you can reach me via email at anthony@steppingstonesolutions.com. Until next month, this is Anthony Miller, wishing you a month of many happy speeches.